Be really neat to get to 6-2 after the way this season started.
And the Washington Commanders, I think, are playing the Giants.
They are. So I guess your point is you don't want to fall a game and a half back.
No, you do not.
Keep pace.
Yes, correct.
But, no sure thing Washington wins. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's...
That took a miracle for them to win.
That was insane.
That was insane. That was actually...
Can you imagine being a Bears fan?
Well, they... Yeah. Well, look, they at least feel better about themselves because they haven't had a team in a long time. They may have
won. To lose in that way.
Oh, I get it.
So brutal.
I get it. All right, 215-592-9494. To not have Joel Embiid is also brutal. By the way, good morning as we broadcast from Borgata on this Football Friday. So let's listen to Shams yesterday on ESPN. Of course, recently hired by ESPN. Shams replacing Adrian Wojnarowski, and he talked yesterday with about a Joel Embiid update. Let's listen to the latest as reported yesterday from Shams.
I'm told he is essentially in the ramp-up phase of his return process, of his debut process. He has completed, from what I'm told, multiple 5-on-5 scrimmages in recent days. And so the Sixers want to make sure, from a conditioning perspective, his knee, his body is 100% before he makes it back out on the floor for his debut. He has workout scheduled today and on Friday to evaluate whether he's going to be able to make a return as soon as this weekend. But this is all a part of what has been described to me as the new normal for Joel Embiid. That's going to include periodic time off at different points during the season. It's going to include routine checkups on his knee over the course of the season. And it is all part of the Sixers and Joel Embiid's new strategy this season on how to keep him healthy when he has never been, and that's for the playoffs.
Look, I hope it's that simple. Obviously, we all do. You know, none of us are happy with this situation, but hopefully it's one of those things where he's getting close, and it's as simple as a ramp up to a week.
We got another new normal. It's great.
Yeah, this is so disheartening.
But that's at least encouraging, Joel.
Yeah, I think that was encouraging.
But doesn't it set the stage for Joel is just going to let us know when he feels up to playing.
Play when he wants to.
This is just a nightmare. This unfolds in a way where it feels like there's no dependability on the horizon for our basketball.
I agree with that. It does not feel like a dependable situation. Look, to me, the disaster of disasters is... There was a word the Athletic used in reporting about Embiid a couple days ago, and I want to read from this story. They reported one league source with knowledge of the NBA's investigation said, while it is true Embiid did not suffer a new injury to his surgically repaired left knee during the Olympics, the knee was unstable enough that there was concern about further damage being done if Embiid had played last week. That's where, Shams' thing, it's like, all right, sounds like you're getting closer and good. This Athletic article is like, boy, this thing, maybe he's going to have to require surgery.
There's the problem, Joe, because the ramp-up thing I don't buy, because what has he been doing since the Olympics if not ramping up and getting in conditioning? He's injured. So
I agree.
Let's just be honest about it.
That's what I think. That is what I think. All right, 215-592-9494. You guys know I've been ramping up my golf game to beat break 100.
Oh yeah, I was Marion.
I've been in ramp up mode to break 100. John Ritchie, did I break 100 yesterday?
No.
Devin?
You golfed at Marion?
So
no.
All right. So first of all, full disclosure: there's two golf courses at Marion. I was on course 2.
Okay.
So I was not on the championship course where the U.S. Open gets played. I was on the other course.
Which is good.
Say it again, James.
You didn't sully it, which is good.
I took a couple divots. Don't get me wrong. I took a chunk or two. So here we go. 18. Tough putt. Make it from the fringe to break 100.
No way. Are you serious?
I missed it by an inch.
Oh.
It rolled by the cup.
Oh, no.
And it was a great putt. It was from about 25 feet.
Oh.
It was off the green.
Why was it great?
Because let me put it this way. There was somebody watching this, knowing the circumstance. He'd been listening to our show. He knew the deal. Me and my buddy, we were playing together. And so this other, I don't know if this guy worked there or was a golfer, but this guy looks at me before the putt and goes, if you make this, this will be the shot of the day at Marion. So I was really proud of all right, this is a moment. And it rolled right past the cup. And I'm not kidding when I say missed it by an inch.
What was your immediate reaction?
I was proud I was so close.
Oh.
That's weak, man.
That is totally weak, Jeff.
I was proud.
It is weak.
When you
of
lose,
course
beat
I,
the
you failed.
Down.
You failed,
of course
man.
I was frustrated. Of course I was. But I was also proud. I'm getting
consolation prize.
What did I tell you, John?
Participation trophy to camera.
What am I doing, John? I'm ramping up.
I don't know.
I'm ramping up.
Giving yourself a false sense of security? patting yourself on the back when unnecessary?
No.
I don't know.
I completely.
You failed at your goal, but you got so close. And are you trying to make yourself, are you trying to pick yourself up by the bootstraps with this?
No, I'm getting close. I'm like Joel, unless I'm not. Unless I'm going to never break 100. Let's go to the phones. Man. Let's talk to Dan right now in Philly. What's going on, Dan?
Story of Joe's life, just short an inch.
Well, you can add a couple of inches to that.
Hey now.
One inch doesn't do this stump justice, but go ahead.
Hey. Hey, listen, I think I've been calling into this show since it started, and one of the reasons I started calling in is because Joe used to piss me off so bad about Carson Wentz, and I would call over and over and defend him, me and John Ritchie, right? And we would sit there and defend him, and I don't agree with Joe. I don't even know if I like Joe. No, I'm kidding. But I will stand on the mountain with Joe when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Because
are you serious?
I'm dead serious, John. He made us all.
Sounds like a plan. stand on the mountain of evaluating quarterbacks.
Absolutely,
with Joe because Wentz wasn't good?
100%. He saw it before everybody else, John. You got to admit that. And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is bad or is going to be a flop, but I'm also not saying he is what he is from 2 years ago because he played the Browns, the Giants, and the Bengals. So, you know, if this continues up, then great. We have a good quarterback. But I kind of agree with Joe. We're still in the evaluation process of Jalen Hurts, and that kind of sucks after you paid him $200-something million.
Well, that for sure. And, Dan, let me ask you this question because John push back on this one. Don't you think they came out of the bye week with the intention of using him less because he had been struggling?
Yeah. 100%. And John, you seem to be proud that maybe Jalen Hurts can play under center a few times. Like, it's proven that they'd rather him not be under center for some particular reason. And just because he was under center,
it doesn't matter if he's under center or not. Is my point? Like he can do it, but if they're winning
and he's not turning the ball over, exactly. I don't see how it matters.
It really
well, if they
is,
continue to win,
it really
no, Devin,
is
yes,
what
if they
works
win,
best for this team now.
But I don't think they will win at a huge clip. I don't, because at some point you're going to face real teams, and when they do, if Jalen doesn't play better, I think you got a big.
You have to, and I disagree with the take that for this Sunday against this Jags teams that you just run a lot. They have one of the worst secondaries, worst pass defenses. I would love to see Jalen light it up because I agree with you. He's got to be able to pass the ball on a consistent basis to go far in the playoffs.
Well, Riga, there is a theory. Use this game to try to test the water.
Yeah.
I agree. That is Now, look, that gets dangerous because you can have that one or two turnovers.
Yeah, you don't want to turn it over. You could go deep, and he's very good going
deep.
He's
great with the deep ball. Yeah. I mean, that is maybe the best aspect of his game.
It shouldn't be that risky with Smith and Brown and, you know.
And the O-line.
Your wide receivers, yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be that much of a risk.
The O-line that you got two guys out on.
Not relatively easy, but relatively easy if you're a good quarterback and you have those receivers. It shouldn't be that much of a risk to have your quarterback throw the ball.
Mekhi's going to be back.
And then it says a lot.
All right, Dan, give me a great answer. What was the bad decision in a movie?
This decision led to two deaths.
Okay.
All right? Led to another decision. When Billy Bats told Tommy to go get his shine box one more time.
You're right, man. Billy Bats just could not control his mouth. That's right. Shine box and all that stuff? Good answer. 215-592-9494. Speaking of answers, we'll get answers from Elliot coming up. 7:30, Elliot Shore Parks on the show. 7:45, Beat the Hammer against the legendary Chuck from Mount Airy. He challenged the Hammer? I accepted the challenge. By the way, I've got no concerns. Zero on facing Chuck from Mount Airy. So I'll deal with that fool coming up at 7:45. Out on a football Friday from Borgata, Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, Eagles and the Jags on Sunday, 7.5-point line. So obviously it should be a W for the Birds, hopefully it will be. We'll talk to Dick Vermeil about it at 8 o'clock, Elliot Shore Parks in 10 minutes. It is the return of Doug Peterson. Now, not as notable as last time, because last time was the first time, but it's still a thing. I mean, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl here, and it's the second time he'll be back. Unfortunately, it was probably the last time he'll ever be back.
Yeah.
Because my guess is he'll be fired, you know, probably at the end of this year, maybe during this year. And I'm guessing he never gets another job. I hope he does, but I'm guessing he doesn't. You know, there's Doug the coach and there's Doug the guy. And Ross Tucker talked this week, and it was a really interesting story about Doug the Guy. I want to play this because I think it's worth, if you missed this earlier this week, Ross's story about what a good dude Doug Peterson is. Listen to Ross's story.
Can you give me a 15-second Doug Peterson thing? James said you got one thing on Doug.
I just love the guy. I don't know if you remember, but the first Eagles preseason game I did, I had no voice. I have to interview him before the game. I'm usually supposed to do three questions. I did one, and he talked for like 3 minutes, and that's all I needed. The next day I saw him, or the next walkthrough I saw him, I literally gave him a hug. It was my first Eagles preseason game,
yeah,
and I had no voice. So, like, I'm a Doug Peterson guy forever because he knew I was in a bad spot, and he helped me out. So, as a guy, we can talk coaching or whatever, but as a guy, he, you know how you guys were saying earlier in the show, he's the type of guy you want to have a beers with, he's a cool guy. He is exactly that.
It's good stuff, man. It really is. So Doug should get a great ovation. It's probably not going to be quite the moment as the last time. And we don't even know if the Eagles are going to have a moment for him. You know, maybe time two, they don't. Maybe there's nothing up on. I still call it Fanavision, even though it's a Phillies game. What do we call that thing? The Jumbotron?
Jumbotron.
I mean, not a Phillies game. Jumbotron. But I call them all Fanavision. It's like how Kleenex is every tissue box.
Yes.
So it's a, you know, it's a Kleenex. I don't know. So, James, will they do something to signify Doug is back, or does time two mean they do nothing?
I think they'll do something, but I don't think it'll be a big thing. I think it'll be, you know, a couple minutes on the Jumbotron, and that's about it.
A couple minutes,
30 seconds, whatever. You know what I mean. Okay. Like, I think it'll be
commercial,
a quick little commercial break.
A couple
little
minutes
thing.
On the Jumbotron would be awesome.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug. Yeah, like maybe a picture of him holding up the Lombardi or something like that.
It's the right thing to do. It really is.
With the Eagles up 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Crowd
will
be more happy.
And with Doug about to have an offensive possession, so he's meeting with Trevor Lawrence, but has to
acknowledge
the crowd and be distracted.
Doug's got the owner in his ear saying, hey, come up to my office after the game, buddy.
Yeah, what are the chances we could get Doug here in some advisory role after things don't go swimmingly?
Offensive coordinator next year when Kellen Moore gets hired as someone's head coach?
Charlie Manuel
came back as the hitting coach.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Charlie Ryan
Sandberg?
Okay,
but can I ask, I love Doug Peterson. What has he done since he won the Super Bowl with the Eagles to make you want to hire him?
Well, as an offensive coordinator, though?
Maybe a quarterback.
Yeah, it's different.
Maybe not.
Quarterback coach. I always thought he was a pretty good
play caller.
Specialist.
Yes.
Wow, he's down to that.
He goes from offense assistant.
I thought he was a good play caller.
Coach or something like that. Like Marty Morningweg became at the end of things.
We never said his issue was play calling. It was always the other stuff.
That's true.
I agree with that.
He was a gutsy play caller for the most
part. He was. All right, so we got a couple Twitter poll questions related to Doug and Nick. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who would you prefer is the Eagles coach, Doug or Nick? Second poll question, who wins a fight, 56-year-old Doug, 43-year-old Nick? We stumbled into that ridiculous topic earlier this week.
Is it a cage fight?
Doug wins the fight.
Is it a cage fight?
Doesn't matter, indoor or outdoor, wins the fight.
Doug has the size, but I could see Nick being pretty shifty.
Doug is a
ferocious.
Big
Nick's going to be ferocious. Yeah. Doug's
ferocious?
A nice guy, and Nick's going to be ferocious. He's going to be all he cares about is winning.
Yeah. James, didn't Doug Peterson play an NFL season with a broken back or something?
Again, he was a quarterback. He had a red jersey on. Nick Sirianni's getting
crushed
over the middle. Like, come on.
All right, Doug or Nick, you tell us who wins the fight. Third poll question, who wins tomorrow, Penn State or Ohio State? Feels like Penn State hasn't won one of these type of games since 2008. Are they finally going to break through and win a meaningful game and give themselves a chance deeper into November and, dare I say it, December with a legitimate chance for a national
quarterback
championship?
Injury?
I don't know. I don't follow close enough. Yeah, what do I know? Come on.
But you're running a poll.
I'm running a poll because I haven't watched Penn State in 15 years because there hasn't been anything worth watching. Win a freaking game. Win me back. Win a game. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to David right now at Drexel Hill. What's going on,
hey,
David?
Hey, how you doing? Like one of the callers. I've been calling since like 90, man. I used to love the early show. Hey, let me say something. You blinded with your dislike for Jalen, and you act like you like him. But you really don't.
Well, I don't have dislike. I don't like the way he plays a lot of times, but it's not dislike.
That's why I call. I'm looking at Jalen Hurts because we all say he started out bad in this season. Why is his stat so high? It's only about maybe 3 quarterbacks got more passing yards than him, and you say he don't pass.
Well, he's got a remarkable advantage with who he's throwing the ball to. It's a little easier than when Donovan was throwing it to Torrance Small and James Thrash and Todd Pinkston and those guys.
Was AJ in?
AJ missed three games.
He missed three games. That's right.
You know what I mean? AJ didn't play last year, two games. He didn't play in the playoffs.
I'm sorry, say it again.
He didn't play last year in the playoffs. He didn't play the last game last year, AJ.
But Jalen was a disaster in the playoff game, right? I mean, he was a disaster.
But let me ask you this, because do you base his play on those turnovers is why you say he's not that good?
Well, it's not just that. Here's the thing. I think he's an average quarterback. So let me just start with my overall evaluation. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's bad. I think he's average. I base it on – so the negative side are the turnovers, the fact that I don't think he processes information in the pocket fast enough to get it out quickly enough and spread the ball around.
And you know that's not all true.
Well, it's what I believe. I mean, you might disagree. I'm answering your question. Obviously, there are things he does well. I think his ball is a good ball. It's not a great ball, but I think you can totally win with the way he throws the ball. He is a great deep ball. He is more athletic than most quarterbacks in pro football, although less athletic than he used to be. And
you know, we told him to be less athletic.
No. That's not right. We told him
that
to
is right.
run. No, hold on, David. Hold on. We a lot of fans said he should run less to protect himself. We did not hope that he would be less fast when he ran. That's different.
Yeah, it is different because I looked at it as more running. Hey, but let me say this because two things I want to give you my movie in closing.
Sure.
Do you consider, like, Ron Jaworski, because he's going to be on, do you consider him to be a good quarterback when he was playing?
So I'm a little young for the – I'm totally too young for the Jaws prime. I saw the end of Jaws.
I
really can't speak – yeah, I was 2 years old in 80. I can't speak to it.
Okay, well, let me say this real quick about Ron.
But obviously, he was a pretty good quarterback for a good stretch there.
But he was frustrating sometimes.
But he also had no offensive line. What I saw, David, what I saw with Jaws, no offensive line. So he kind of had no shot. That was what I saw.
You said.
I'm sorry, say it again?
You said you was too young to
know that. No, I was not too young for the very end of Jaws, although I wasn't, as advanced.
But let me just say this about Ron, because I consider him to be a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. He had 175 touchdowns and 161 interceptions.
Sure. No, I know, but it's also, the rules were totally different, David. I mean, totally different.
But we play more games today.
No, I understand that, but let's acknowledge, back then you could take a quarterback's head off. Now you can't even breathe on the quarterback without getting a penalty sometimes, right?
Hey, Hammer, I love y'all, and I love this show.
Thank you.
Hey, Hammer, but I wish I could. Can I ask you one other question?
Well,
can I give you my movie and then ask you a quick question?
Sure, sure.
Okay, the movie I'm going to go with, because I was watching it with my grandkids, is Ten Commandments.
So what's the decision?
God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, and he didn't do it.
Wow. That's a big answer. Pharaoh not letting the people go. And he gets. So I can't remember.
Go down, Moses.
Does he get swallowed up? No, he doesn't get swallowed up in the ocean, in the sea, but everyone else does.
But you lose everything.
Yeah.
All right, Hammer, and because you win all the time, right? Let me ask you this trick question.
Okay.
How many of each animal was Moses allowed to take on the ark?
You're not going to get me with that, David. I saw Yannick Noah, I saw Captain Noah. And I know about Noah. And that would be two with Noah.
Love you, Hammer.
Good try, David.
One.
Thanks, buddy. Good call, man. Appreciate that very much. All right, let's talk some Eagles football with Elliott Shore Parks. Of course, high times right now with the Birds at 5-2, likely to get to 6-2. Some injury stuff with some players we worry about and wonder about. And for more on that and this game and the return of Doug Peterson, we turn to our guy, Eagles reporter Elliott Shore Parks. Good morning, Elliott.
Man, it's crazy to think how much this season has changed that you just said likely to get to 6-2 and no one's really going to push back on that.
Right. And I got to give John credit. So, Elliot, at 2-2, he called 6-2.
He did.
And I thought he was a little nuts. I knew it was certainly possible, but I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
They're trending in the right. So, Elliot, let's talk about who's going to be in and who's going to be out. Not good on Darius Slay not practicing yesterday. Would your expectation be that Slay and Goddard both miss this game?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Dallas Goddard or Darius Slay out there on Sunday. And with Darius Slay, you know, I think he probably wouldn't play even if it was like a bigger game. But I do think that when you look at the Jaguars' offense, the receivers they could potentially be missing, they're probably going to be missing, or they will be missing Kirk. And then it doesn't look like Brian Thomas Jr. will play, or at least he's questionable. You don't really need play out there on Sunday against the Jaguars offense. And then with Goddard, you know, when it comes to hamstrings, you don't want to rush him back because if he comes back too soon, re-injures that thing, then it could really become a problem. So I don't think you'll see either of them out there on Sunday.
What about Landon Dickerson limited with the knee? How bad is that, Elliot?
I think he's going to play. Landon, I think just the nature of the position and kind of what his career has been, he'll always be dealing with, you know, a little something, not to minimize the injury. I'm sure it's not fun. But I've seen him in the locker room walking around. He seems in good spirits. My guess is this is more injury management than it is any concern. He won't suit up.
And Mekhi Becton in the concussion protocol, how are things going for him?
Yeah, I think he'll play. I think he'll be out there. I don't believe he's officially cleared the protocol yet, but he has been practicing, and it looks like he'll play.
So what do we know about Jalen Carter with the shoulder, full practice, everything else, but it's Jalen Carter. How bad is this thing, and should we be keeping track of it?
I don't think there's any real concern there with Jalen Carter, especially not with him missing on Sunday. He'll play on Sunday, and he's needed. I will say, if there's one strength of this Jaguars team on the offensive side of the ball, they do have a good interior offensive line. They have two good guards and a pretty good center. So they'll need him on Sunday to get to Trevor Lawrence, and I think he'll be out there.
Elliot Short Parks with us, of course, on a Football Friday from Borgata. So, Elliot, let's broaden this out here a little bit. My contention is after the bye, the Eagles chose to run it more purposefully, and it's one because – they've got a great running game, but also because the coaching staff said, let's not lean into Jalen so much. Do you think both statements are accurate? It's about a good running game, but it's also about putting less on Jalen's plate. True or not true?
Yeah, I think there's truth to that. Because, I mean, if you look at how much Jalen was turning the ball over in those first four games, I mean, you needed to have the ball in his hands less. Now, Jalen's done a better job. I know they're really emphasizing protecting the ball in the pocket. He's had a few batted away from him, especially that one against Tampa Bay. But I think overall, now look, the opponent I think does play a factor, the score plays a factor, but I think it's pretty clear they came out of the bye week and said, we need to get the ball in Saquon's hand for. So, yeah, I think there would be truth to that.
So, statement. Elliot, Rhea's got a theory, and it's an interesting one, that even if that's the strategy for a good chunk of the season moving forward, this is a game to stretch Jalen's legs, and by legs I mean his arm,
yeah,
and say, yeah, hey, we're probably going to win this game. Let's start testing the waters of having Jalen pass it more again because we've got an opponent, you know, we should feast on. Do you like that theory to try to test Jalen and stretch it a little bit back toward the old way? Because here's the thing, Elliot. I do think running a lot is the best way to win a game, but I do think Jalen playing better more consistently is the most critical thing for this team to win the Super Bowl. Would you test the waters a little bit and expand his game a bit this weekend?
Well, outside of just maybe what might be better for the team, if you just look at the opponent, I mean, they have a horrendous secondary. They're one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. And they're actually, I believe, seventh in the league this year against the run, at least in terms of average yard allowed per carry. So they do have a decent run defense, and their pass defense is there to be taken advantage of. AJ's going to be there. Devontae's going to be there. I mean, they're going to have pretty much their full set of weapons other than Dallas Goedert. So I think there is some truth to it that eventually there's going to be a game where Jalen's going to have to throw them to a win, and maybe that's this weekend. But in terms of, like, doing it just to try it out, I mean, their schedule is not that tough coming up, and I really think that when we talk about Jalen needing to lead them to a shootout, we're really only talking about maybe that matchup against Detroit. Like, if the defense plays at even close to the level it is now, if they run the ball the way they're running it, Jalen takes care of the ball, like, I don't think you're going to need to see 45 attempts for 350 yards from Jalen very often.
How does Jacksonville feel about Doug Peterson right now, Elliot?
Well, I mean, considering the record, I would guess they're not super thrilled with him, if I had to guess. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about how he could be on the hot seat. You know, it'd be somewhat ironic if the Eagles lost this week, cost Doug his job, but
I mean, if the Eagles win. Yeah, Eagles win.
Yeah, yeah. If the Eagles win and the Jaguars lose, you know, I would think that wouldn't bode well for Doug. But, you know, just from the outside looking in, I would say, like, who are the Jaguars to disrespect Doug Peterson? Like even if it does fall apart there, and clearly it has, I think it would be wrong of them to fire him in season. So, look, it'll be nice to see Doug this weekend. Obviously, it's not working out. But it's also probably a lesson that if you don't have a quarterback, your quarterback's not playing well, it's really hard for any head coach to win. Yeah,
let's talk about the Birds' D. So obviously vastly improved in recent weeks. Tell me if this statement is true. Biggest thing they've got to improve on defensively is getting to the quarterback consistently. they're still not there, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think as much as my opinion on this team, and it seems like lots of people's opinion on this team has turned around, the one thing I haven't changed my mind on is the pass rush. I do feel somewhat better about Nolan Smith. Josh Sweat has some decent numbers, but ultimately I don't trust that against a great team in a big game, they'll get after the quarterback in any meaningful way. So trade deadline's coming up. I would definitely make a call about Za'Darius Smith from the Cleveland Browns. I think that'd be a good move for them. But, yeah, I'm not there yet where I trust the pass rush.
All right, Elliot, last thing. Chuck from Mount Airy against the Hammer and beat the Hammer coming up in 8 minutes. He doesn't have much of a shot, right?
Oh, man. I mean, look, if I was anyone I think could take you, it would be Chuck. My guy does know sports, but you're the Hammer for a reason, man. So, of course, I got to pick you.
Oh, my God. Elliot.
I love asking that question.
All the time. I don't get it. It would be foolish to bet against you.
So I would agree with that. Elliot, stay well, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
Chuck has moxie.
He does.
Chuck has belief.
Chuck before?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. When did you?
No clue. All the wins run together in my mind. I can't. Okay. You know.
I want to say like 18 months ago or something, like a year and a half, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and it was a win.
It was a 2-1 Joe win.
Ugh. Well,
so that's not dominant.
No, that's not
dominant.
No, it's not. It must have been hard questions. And maybe, look, Chuck
or
knows
maybe
sports.
Chuck does know sports.
No, I have
Chuck
no...
has a great chance.
Maybe he does. I mean, I wouldn't call it great. I would tend to call it less than great.
Wow, you're very, that was disparaging, Joe. Well, I gave you an opportunity to back Chuck up a little
but
bit,
I'm going
give
in
him
ha-
a, some positivity.
But, John,
Chuck's got a great chance, and it was just radio silence. Nothing.
But here's the thing.
Nothing.
As we get closer to 7:45, I get more in a Hammer mode.
The and Hammer, that means?
The Hammer starts talking.
Haughty Hammer.
The Hammer starts talking about himself in the third person.
Yep.
Yes.
Right? The antenna of greatness goes up.
Antenna of greatness.
You know, stuff like that. So I'm just
the locus of blame goes out.
Right, something like
the
that.
The antenna, yeah,
hey,
goes
we
up.
We got a lot up ahead in the next handful of minutes here, including Dick Vermeil at 8 o'clock. Course read today at 8 o'clock also. Opportunity for people to win Eagles-Jags tickets.
That's courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
The way it works is we give you names at 8 o'clock leading up to Friday at 8 o'clock for a home game, and you got to know those names over a couple of days and then string them together. And when we give you the cue to call the contest line at 8, know all the names that were said that week at the designated times, and you can win Eagles-Jags tickets. So very cool. Also, we'll honor Doug, who we're talking a little bit about today. Wechter put together just a tremendous compilation of audio from the 2017 season. I mean, we should never lose sight of the reality that he is the only head coach to ever win a Super Bowl for the Eagles. And when he comes back, like that's a big deal, you know? I mean, I know he's probably not going to be a head coach too much longer in pro football. And maybe in our poll today, and we got a poll, who would you rather have, Nick or Doug? Maybe Nick will win the poll. But, you know, Doug's a very special part of the history of Philadelphia sports. Let's go to Nick in Wilmington right now. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Nick, hey, great, Nick.
Nick, I was so close yesterday at Merriam. So close.
You know what? I was pulling for you. I'll tell you what, though. I told Richie your outfit was on point, though. So that if you can't operate, you decorate. That's important.
Oh, my God.
Boy, I never get that compliment, so thank you.
I got you. I'm here for you. It's a Hammer day. You got to win today. I don't think as much as Chuck knows sports, I think you're going to take them today.
I hope so.
But I'll
what
tell
is
you what,
with
you?
Like, why?
What is with you?
Seriously, what are you doing? Like I don't know. You are aura, way too positive aura, toward the camera.
The aura of seeing the Hammer first time in person yesterday.
Aura?
I don't know. It gives me the feeling of support for my fellow golfer here.
Especially with the way John treats me around here.
Wow.
Nick. Devin thinks she gets picked on. No one gets picked on around here more than me.
That's
aura?
True.
Please.
Of the
Please.
Hammer.
Did you?
Yeah, no one gets picked on close to as much as Joe. I mean, that's just a factual statement.
That's very
it's
fair.
Like the aura
I don't know
of the Hammer.
Now, well, to not Nick, I agree. Hammer, I agree with you, by the way, Nick.
You deserve a lot of what you get picked on. I'll give you that.
No,
much,
I can't order,
thank you.
Order,
yes, he does.
Ordering ice cream for delivery and it taking an hour and a half to get there and it's melted.
And then being upset, like, wait a second, why is it melted?
Because
you didn't.
Yeah.
Go get the ice cream like a normal human.
But, Nick, wouldn't you say, tell me, isn't it fair to say the delivery guy has an obligation to not pick up ice cream if it's not his first stop? You can't do the
don't
tour.
Don't blame the guy. It's probably the joke.
You can't do a tour
you
and say.
You and I will have to talk off air.
No.
I have something to do. I get delivery ice cream all the time, and it's never melted.
It had never been a problem for me, but this knucklehead chooses for me to be like the third or fourth stop.
You get delivery ice cream all the time?
All the time. All the time.
What are you guys doing? I've never gotten delivery ice cream.
It's called laziness.
John, let me take it a step further. I've never thought of getting delivery ice cream.
No, no, no. Why are you... Why did you
sometimes think you're to do this? Watching TV on a Friday night and you want ice cream, but you don't want to get up and go outside.
Bingo.
So you got to get it delivered.
Hey, Nick, it was good meeting you yesterday. Give me a great answer. From a movie, a bad decision.
It was great meeting you as well. All right. I don't know if this was said. I got two of them. Leaving the beaches open when there were sharks.
I'm only going to give you one. One answer. What do you got?
He already said it's pivot now. Go ahead.
Give me a different answer.
All right. I got another one. Turning the mosquito DNA into dinosaurs in
Jurassic Park. Wow. That's a great answer.
That is a big answer.
That was a good pivot.
Nick,
great job.
Good stuff, man. Very
seriously,
good stuff.
Seriously, because then they almost destroyed the world. Yeah, Look what they did.
That's a very good answer. Salvador in Coatesville. Salvador, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you guys doing today?
Doing well, Salvador. That was a really good answer, Salvador.
It was.
Like, we took mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are pesky, right? Try pterodactyls. Try giant flying pterodactyls through the air. That's a
slightly
little,
more annoying.
Little peskier than a mosquito.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'll take Doug Peterson in a fight and as a coach, man.
I think I would, too.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely in a fight. He's got the size and reach. But, yeah, it's close as a coach, but he won a Super Bowl. That's a lot of cachet. We know he's really good on game day in terms of just having a rhythm. Like, Doug would get rhythmic with his calls.
I do remember that.
And it felt good. Yeah, we all knew that we could count on Doug to do the right thing at the right time. It was very timely. The players counted on him. The players knew they could depend on him for, you know, smart plays at the right time.
Yeah,
it was a good feeling.
Joe, how are you so sure that Nick's a better coach than Doug Peterson?
I didn't say he is. I would vote for Doug.
That you would you said
I think it's close. I think it's very close. But if I had to really make a call, Doug or Nick today, like my true preference, I would pick Doug, but I do think it's close.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Nick in the beginning.
No, I didn't comment.
And what was up with Gerald? Everybody's coming at you today, man. Gerald was coming at you this morning, like first thing in the morning. What's going on? Can I tell you what's going on, Salvador? It's Friday.
Here's what it is. Jalen's played 14 quarters of football this year. 14 halves. One of them was great. 13 of them weren't great, and people got recency bias on the last one being great, and they think he's all the way back. And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds like he has some OG weight in him too. But I'm gonna give you my answer. I'm gonna say. A bad decision was when Smalls took his stepdad's ball.
Salvador. You got it, my man. Appreciate the call. You know what I also appreciate? When there's someone with the guts to compete against the Hammer, especially when he calls his shot earlier in the week and says he's going to beat the Hammer, and that's what Chuck from Mount Airy did earlier this week.
Sounds like you think he has no chance to beat the Hammer. It sounds like you're almost like
limited
diminishing challenge.
Well, it's like I say, I'm the Hammer and he's not. But, you know.
You really have total confidence that you will
succeed
today.
Not total, but large confidence.
Wow.
It's like the Eagles versus the Jags. Better win. If you lose, it's a disaster. With that said.
I like that Chuck has been on the radio. He feels less nerves than a lot of the contestants.
Chuck knows this stuff.
He does.
And he's a confident guy.
So yes, he is.
I would not expect him to choke.
Confident and competent.
Yeah. All right. With that said, with a record of 265-42, let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Today with Beat the Hammer, Chuck will be competing for a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt, which, of course, should be great for this upcoming colder weather. Get a sweatshirt and rock the Eagles colors, which is good stuff. Hey, Beat the Hammer brought to you by First Trust Bank, the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region. Founded in South Philadelphia in 1934, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles. 265-42 is my record. Chuck, I believe, is 0-1, but we know he knows sports. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, just thank me later. This is the highest rated, Beat the Hammer of the year.
Wow. Chuck, you are a beaut, man. You really don't lack for confidence. And that's saying something coming from the Hammer.
No, I'm just saying, man. You know, I'm just letting you know. Just thank me later, man. You know what I mean? Send me a gift card for Christmas or something. I mean, this is like
I love you, Chuck.
Going on the Club Shay Shay show. You know what I mean? It's going to break the records. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's the bottom line. Let's get this thing started, man.
Let's Chuck get right to the business.
Love it.
Chuck, I'm going to...
Who do you think has a higher impression of themselves? Chuck or the Hammer?
Twitter poll question later today. Hey, Chuck, good luck to you, buddy.
Yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah.
I believe in you. I really do believe in you today. And I think everyone at this table, Devin, Rhea.
I sure do.
Dave Breitmeyer, our production expert engineer here. Mm-hmm. He believes in you. As Joe slowly, slower than ever, walks off.
In his Borgata sweat shorts.
Yeah, he's wearing Borgata sweat shorts today.
And flip-flops.
And I think he's limping.
He's not limping. He's just
Maybe he's sore from playing golf yesterday.
He's walking in a crotchety way. And he's far away now. Look, we believe in you, Chuck.
All right, so he's safely ensconced.
Yes.
All
stretching.
Right. Chucky, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Let's go.
All right, let's go, Chucky. All right. Our category for today, he is getting inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame on Sunday. We're doing a little LeSean McCoy trivia today. You ready to roll, my friend?
Let's go.
All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Five different quarterbacks have thrown a TD pass to LeSean McCoy in his NFL career. Name two of them.
Nick Foles. Donovan McNabb.
Name a head coach that McCoy played for in the NFL besides Andy Reid and Chip Kelly.
Passes.
What was that?
Pass.
All right. Name two of the three opponents that McCoy faced in the playoffs with the Eagles.
Atlanta and Minnesota.
Since 2000, there's only one person with more rushing touchdowns for the Eagles than LeSean McCoy. Name him.
More rushing touchdowns than LeSean McCoy. Lead him. Ryan Westbrook.
In the five seasons after McCoy left from 20... Oh, no, Chucky.
Chuck.
Oh. That was tough. It happens. I doubt you're going to beat the Hammer this week, but
not
we'll find
convey
out.
My
we'll
disappointment.
I know, because he can see us.
Because he can't see us as he's jogging over.
Look at this jog. Jogging. Can't run like that.
Wow, he's going to be exhausted by the time he gets here. I've never seen this degree of arm pumpage.
He's high-fiving the security guard.
Yeah,
that's his new thing now. She's laughing.
She's wiping her hand off. Is what she's doing.
So, James, new idea. I think you should play the Chariots of Fire music when I come back.
Oh, my God.
Because I am trying to. Because we also got a lot to get to here.
There's a pickle man standing in front of us.
There is a pickle man.
And he's dancing.
A pickle man.
Are you flossing? Yeah.
He's got a life-size pickle costume on.
All right, how did this Chuck in Mount Airy guy do?
You ready to roll here?
Been ready.
Okay. Well, you're over here asking questions.
By the way, can I just say... Rhea, in 10 minutes, what do we got coming up here?
We have the NovaCare tickets. We're giving away the NovaCare tickets, power rehabilitation power physical therapy for Sunday's game against the Jags.
Be listening in 10 minutes as we give those tickets away. You can attend the Eagles-Jags game. You got to be listening, though, in 10 minutes to win them. Also, Dick Vermeil in 10 minutes and a Doug Peterson tribute in about 5 minutes. All right, Seltzer, let's rock and roll, my
All right, category for the week. He's getting inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame on Sunday. We're doing a little LeSean McCoy trivia. You ready, Roll?
Wow. LeSean McCoy trivia. Let's rock.
All right. Here we go. Question number one.
He did have a different number year one.
And he
I
did.
Think it was 29, but we'll see. Okay.
Question number one. 55 seconds. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Question number one. Five different quarterbacks have thrown a TD pass to LeSean McCoy in his NFL career. Name two of them.
I will say I'm going to come back to that.
Name a head coach that McCoy played for in the NFL besides Andy Reid and Chip Kelly.
I'm going to come back to that.
Name two of the three opponents that McCoy faced in the playoffs with the Eagles.
Two of the three opponents. He faced the Saints, and he faced, in the playoffs, he faced the Packers.
Since 2000, there's only one person with more rushing touchdowns for the Eagles than LeSean McCoy. Name him.
Since 2000, I'll say Jalen Hurts.
In the five seasons after McCoy left, from 2015 through 2019, five different players led the Eagles in rushing. Name two of them.
From which years?
2015 through 2019.
Oh, boy. I'll say, holy mackerel, DeMarco Murray and I'll say LeGarrette Blount. All right, go ahead. Five quarterbacks what?
Threw a touchdown pass to McCoy in his career.
I'll say Foles and Bradford.
Time.
What was the last one? Bradford?
I said Bradford.
Incorrect.
I couldn't think on those first two. How did Chuck do?
He did horrible.
Oh.
A 3-0 victory.
I just couldn't. You know when you can't wrap your mind around the question? Like, I know these are gettable. I just couldn't.
It was Mike Vick and Nick Foles. Vince Young is the other Eagle.
I thought about Vince Young.
And then Tyrod Taylor and Pat Mahomes.
Who were the coaches he played
Rex
for?
Ryan, Sean McDermott, and Bruce Arians.
Yeah, my brain just couldn't get there. I mean, I guess it's like when Jordan.
I couldn't believe you guys didn't get Sean McDermott.
I couldn't. I was lost in the years. I couldn't. Yeah. And that's why I struggled with the quarterbacks. Like, I was not processing the years.
With the Bills, I wasn't sure either. Was McDermott there when he got traded?
I was totally lost. I was thinking about Shermer. And I was trying to figure out when Pat Shermer coached a game for the Eagles, was LeSean McCoy.
He was already traded
here
by then, yeah. It was 2015.
But I was like all spun around. Now, this is like when Jordan scores 24 and wins with ease, but doesn't score 45. Listen.
Wait, did you
Chuck hung up. Oh, no.
That is so weak.
That is weak, Chuck. Chuck.
No, I don't call back. John, you know I didn't touch that.
Wait,
I was
maybe
just...
did Chuck know he was supposed to stay on?
Yes, he's heard Beat the Hammer before.
Don't be Tom Brady and not shake the hand. Shake the hand, take
that
the
is,
L.
That is akin to what
right?
Tom Brady dissing Nick Foles.
Oh, that's not
that
right,
really
man.
Does feel like a diss,
that's
Chuck.
Not right. All right, well, look.
I mean, was that his feelings are hurt diss, or was that like he really didn't know diss?
He knows. Come on, man. All right, Chuck, that's lame, but it is what it is. I still love you, Chuck, but I don't
do
have to
you?
Tell you. Yeah, I care about Chuck.
Well, okay, you can care about him. Do you love him?
I'll say this. He may need to get my book that is either going to be about Philadelphia sports or not about Philadelphia sports.
Oh, now you're going to push that. Pay you back.
Hey, by the way, Chuck challenged me and obviously failed, but you don't have to
massively.
Fail. You don't have to fail with commercial banking. Challenge your bank to do better for you. If they do not, then get yourself to First Trust Bank where your business will be in great shape. With Victory 266, Beat the Hammer. Let's shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
He's still a pickleman. He's just
clapping.
Standing. He's just standing there.
Thank you, sir.
Pickleman.
Thank you. Yeah.
With
thank
the pickle
buddy.
Outfit. Joe, good job.
Joe, that was a very subdued job. Celebration for me.
I know.
Me.
I was confused. I'm still confused.
We didn't get any screamy, no Caesar references. Like, are you okay?
I didn't like that I couldn't process. I couldn't process.
You still won.
I did, and I appreciate that.
You know something? You're like Jalen Hurts last year after the Buffalo game. Miserable.
A little bit.
I don't like that.
I need the
– it's annoying, arrogant, and it's necessary.
But I also got a lot on my mind. Like, we're about to play a Doug tribute. We got Coach Ramil coming up. We got the tickets in a moment. I got to do a sponsorship. And I still now, because Chuck hung up, I still got to give someone a prize. And I got to rifle through my phone to find out what the prize is.
It's a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt.
Yep. I can't remember it all. I mean, it's too much. Too much. All right, so contest line, caller 3, contest line. You're going to win a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt, and that's good stuff. 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258 to win the Eagles sweatshirt. All right, Doug's coming back. Only coach to ever win a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Now, there were 3 titles prior to the Super Bowl era, 48, 49, and 60, but never in the Super Bowl era. We wanted it so bad for so long. And Doug was a huge part of making it happen. A huge part. I asked Wechter earlier this week, knowing on Friday, of course, you know, Eagles versus the Jags. Hey, let's try to put something together that kind of honors Doug and speaks to that 2017, you know, thing. And Joe went into the lab, put some work in, and put together what I believe is a tribute you're really going to enjoy hearing. Let's take a trip down. James, we're not doing a bathtub time machine, but this would be like. Matter of fact, James, do you have the bathtub time machine open?
If you give me a sec, hold on.
Yeah, because this is almost like this is a bathtub time machine. Let's take a little dip today on this Friday as we get ready for the Eagles and Jags. We honor Doug Peterson today, and we do so courtesy of a lot of great audio back to 2017. James, don't worry about the bathtub thing. It doesn't matter. Let's listen.
I have it if you want it.
Yeah, all right. Bathtub
time. It's time to go back.
in the tub with the hammer. Well, what
we're really doing is going back to 2017, not with the hammer, with Doug Peterson. Ladies and gentlemen, as he's going to be in town, obviously, starting tomorrow and coaching against the Eagles on Sunday, let's relive the journey of Doug from not good Eagles starting quarterback to championship-winning Super Bowl head coach. Here we go.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
Start this Andy Reid era with the ball and new quarterback Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson making his first start after 7 years in the National Football League. He's been a backup in Green Bay and Miami.
Peterson going deep for Torrance Small. Ball intercepted. Aeneas Williams with the interception on Doug Peterson.
I'd like to welcome back Doug Peterson and introduce him as the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He understands how dedicated, obsessed we all are to bring a Super Bowl to Philadelphia.
I understand the culture and the passion of Philadelphia.
It's exciting times around the city of Philadelphia right now, and it's because of you guys sitting in this room right here. You're here for a reason, and it's to win a championship. What will our identity be in 2017?
He dashes to his left. He dashes to his right. He is starting to run. Now he fires downfield. Aguilar, 3 of the 10. Touchdown, Eagles!
With the article that came out the day before the game, but it is what it is. We love playing for Doug.
We had to get this win for Doug.
Here comes the rush. Lynch, they've got him. They've got him. He escapes. He's got a first down out of the 44-yard line. How'd he do it? How'd he do it?
I thought you said they got him.
They did. He disappeared.
He's rolling. He's going to run. Penalty flag thrown as Lentz goes into the end zone. Lentz back again. He's looking. He pumps. Still looking. He fires. And it is caught. Touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey. Quickly down to Howard.
All right, Merle, Carson Wentz was in the tent. You know what that indicates. And now he's walking to the locker room.
I do. Torn ACL.
Can your team overcome?
You sure can. Heck yeah. We overcame a Pro Bowl left tackle. We overcame our middle linebacker. We've overcome a running back. We've overcome a core special teams player this year, our kicker this year. You know, yeah, he is the quarterback of our football team. But you know what? The reason we went out and got Nick Foles is for reasons like this. You know, if there's ever an opportunity for me as a head football coach to rally the troops, you know, now might be the time.
The Falcons break from the huddle. Jones wide right.
Where is Julio?
Sanu in the slot. Ryan rolls. Ryan pumps. Ryan is throwing it up in the air. Incomplete! And Taylor for Jones. Incomplete! And the Eagles have defeated the Atlanta Falcons. They are one win away from the Super Bowl.
And the word was yet.
Yeah.
The word was yet.
Yeah.
We have.
We ain't done.
We ain't done yet. All right? Yeah. Because you know what? 1 week from tomorrow, we come back together and we shock the world again. Yeah. You got it?
Back goes Foles. Foles steps up. He is looking. He is going deep and alone. And in for the touchdown is Jeffrey. The Eagles are headed for the Super Bowl and a rematch with the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52.
I cannot tell you from the bottom of my heart, I love every one of you. The amount of work that has gone in to what you have accomplished this season. And guess what? We are not done
yet.
We got one more football game to play this season. One more game.
You want Philly?
Yeah, let's do it.
Philly special. Ready? Here we go.
Boom. Moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
Listen, a little razzle-dazzle by Doug.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps on. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
How do you explain this, that 9 years ago you're coaching in high school and here you are with this trophy?
I got the best players in the world, and it's a resilient group. I love this coaching staff, and not only do we have the best fans in the world, we now have the best team in the world. Thank you, guys.
It's awesome stuff, man. It really is. Really well done by Joe Wechter putting that together. We salute Joe on a tremendous compilation of audio back from 7 years ago now. And also, I mean, just look, it's It's a big thing, man. Doug coming back, John. He was here for 5 years, and he did it. He did it.
I cannot get over the confidence that he brought to the table when he was asked, can you still win without Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
I never in a million years would I have expected the way he actually believed that. When he said, you bet, or whatever it was, heck yeah, we can win. At that moment in time, I thought, oh, man, this is just total lip service. He's saying this because it's what the team, I guess it's the only thing they can hear right now. They got no other choice. But he turned it around.
He
went back to the drawing board with his offensive coordinator, and they retooled everything to suit Nick Foles and that offense and those players and their skill sets, and the rest is history.
Tremendous.
Clearly.
Yeah.
But the confidence that he had is what's so overwhelming.
Yeah, it was very strong. I agree with